Welcome to Bizart, the podcast of the odd, the art and the rest. Any questions or comments, or to send a story under 300 words, email bizartcast@gmail.com. I'm Madeleine Swan and I write weird and strange stories. This is Stephen Waring.
Hello.
And you can find his brain at lofiguy.com.
Hello.
Welcome and bienvenue. It's our advice jollies. It's our advice jollies. You sounded like a scary caller then, the sort of phone call that you wouldn't want to get in the middle of the night.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I got one of those once. When I came back from London, I think it was, I arrived back at the local station and I was in the phone box and the phone box rang and I thought, that's a bit weird. And I answered it and it was a high-pitched voice, but it wasn't a child. It sounded like a man putting on a high-pitched voice. And he said, I can see you. And I said, what? And he said, you're wearing a purple skirt. And he went through what I was wearing. And I hung up and I just felt cold all over.
Ooh.
So I rang for a lift. It was quite scary. Anyway.
Yes. It was me.
It was. Go on.
What am I doing?
That, the topic of conversation or question.
That's right. Yeah. Why am I wrestling things?
Yeah, I know, it's very annoying.
Right. This is, you might think this is a bit lame, but I think it's quite an interesting thing. You know, I was addicted to a computer game the other night and didn't get off it till 2 something.
Yes.
I think the main reason why I enjoyed the game was there's a level of excitement there that you wouldn't get in the real world unless you were in the army or something.
That depends on how you look at things, I suppose.
But also, it's got a world which is a very enjoyable place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting kind of subject matter, isn't it? Where, so you've got your everyday mundane jobs, people who don't necessarily like their work will find escape through these humongous games that you get now, where you've got basically open worlds and you can play for hours and hours, even years if you like. What do you think about that? And do you think it's positive or negative, or what do you think of the impact of that on society? Would people just find, say, in the years before video games and that, would people have found something else? Or do you think there's something more, there's a deeper thing beyond all of this where...
Well, escapism and, you know, fantasy kind of thing, that's always been a part of human nature. We've always done it. It's like anything, really. There's pros and cons to both. I mean, on the con side, you've got... I remember reading a Red Dwarf book when I was about 11, and it had people playing Better Than Life. And
yeah, I read that too.
Yeah, and it was just... like, they had the headset on, and they were, like, these wasted bodies, and they didn't live in the real world. They lived in this other world, and their reality was just scuzzy and unpleasant, and, you know, they had to be taken care of. But
that's kind of how I feel, though. The world of the game is much more interesting than the real world on an everyday basis, isn't it?
But I mean, the thing is our real world on an everyday basis is never going to be as good as something that was invented purely for
enjoyment
and stuff happening every minute of the day. Even if you live somewhere like, I don't know, the Yukon, which is what Skyrim looks a bit like sometimes, with the mountains and the woods and stuff, you'd still get bored at some point, you know.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the documentary which we saw, which we're going to talk about later when we do the Freaky Film Club. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a woman on that who was saying that her everyday job was working in a bank. She was basically a number cruncher. She was sitting there typing in numbers all day, but she would be thinking about her act, a burlesque act, most of the time.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you've got that, if you've got an outlet to look forward to,
yes,
then it makes the mundane seem not quite so bad. You but know, everyone you've got a kind balance. Of, yeah. So I guess people will find that in anything, won't they?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Bram Stoker, when he wrote Dracula, Dracula was based on his boss, who basically was taking over his life. He was working as a clerk. Was it a clerk or something like that?
I thought that that was... He was in love with his boss, and his boss was...
No, I think he was just... He was basically sort of... I think he felt like his boss was sucking the life out of him. Mm. And his job, you know,
so
as
that
well.
Gave him the material that's kind of lasted.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's obviously, it's just human nature. If you're doing something that you don't particularly enjoy, or you're doing something a bit mundane even, or, you know...
But he's chosen a creative outlet there.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have a creative outlet, do they? I mean, this was a creative outlet for the game designers.
Yeah.
But it isn't a creative outlet for the people in the game. Not really. You can't do...
I suppose. I mean, it depends on how you look at it, though. There isn't anything wrong with just enjoying yourself. You don't always have to be making something every minute of the day, you know.
But I've got friends who don't do anything creative. Would we be happier as people if we just, instead of being struggling artists who've never got any money, you know, always kind of living kind of outside of the norm, would we be happier people, do you think, if we had a mundane everyday job, and which we would hate, but then of an evening just played Skyrim and stuff like that, or watched...
I don't think just playing TV. Skyrim is mutually exclusive to deciding not to be a creative person, though. I think you know, you can play Skyrim as entertainment no matter what you do, if you are creative, if you're not creative, you know, it's just an outlet. It doesn't mean that you're
not... But do you
not
think, we'd be happier as people if we weren't creative at all, if we didn't have a creative bone?
It's like we were saying, there's pros and cons to both. There are people who are creative and could quite easily make a living from their art, but they choose not to because they choose to have a regular paycheck, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know. But I think it's a mistake that a lot of people make to say that if you're not creative, then you're somehow very even, and you don't have the same nuances to your personality. You know, every single person is as complex and different and strange. Every single person, no matter if they're creative, if they're on an estate, if they're in like a banker even, you know, every single person's very different.
I suppose, say if I was a banker or something and I had loads of money, but I didn't have a creative outlet, I didn't have any time for it or whatever, or family, you know, I had like other commitments and I just didn't have any time to be creative.
Yeah.
Even though I have that creative thing, there would probably personally be an element of sadness. There would be something in the back of my mind where I feel unfulfilled, and
yeah, because,
you know,
art is what you want to be doing.
So, would they maybe replace? Would that be something else? Say, if they liked yachting or something, would they be yearning to go yachting, or yearning to? I don't know.
It's like if you do horse riding or something like that, you know, you're going to miss it if that's the thing that you really love to do. The passion. You're going to miss it if you find yourself unable to do it anymore. It's about a passion, and everyone's got their own, and whether it's creative or whether it's, I don't know, sniffing woodlice, whatever, you know, It's a person's passion, isn't it? And someone's passion might be playing Skyrim.
See, there you go. You know. So that is what I was asking. I mean, I know it took a long while to get to the point, but it was important for me for us to have the conversation and kind of and put a lot of thought into it. And you can't think if you're just jabbering on. You just can't. I can't.
No.
So you can understand why. That is interesting. That's
creative curiosity. I like the weird sort of slug rhythm that you had there.
I didn't know what was going on there. It was just coming out. It was flowing.
Yes. Right. What was I? I had a look at... I don't know why I chose this, to be honest. I'm not really sure, because it's not like a big deal or anything. But I just came across this video today, which was an anti-smoking thing by a group of people called The Truth. It's called It's a Trap. And if you Google anti-smoking, it's a trap, that will come up. But, I'm kind of feel a bit bad saying anything too awful about them because their heart is in the right place. But it just reminded me of Legs Akimbo. You know, the sort of drama group who would go around schools and they want to make it cool and funky.
It was like something from a comedy show.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, they're basically, I don't know if you've seen the episode with South Park, Butt Out, where they have that group come in and sing that song Butt Out, which is basically about, you know, put
just
out
say
your cigarette.
No.
Yeah, that sort of thing. But in order to sort of appeal to the youngsters and that, they've packed lots of memes in, like a dramatic cat and a rainbow vomiting unicorn. I don't know if that's like a thing now or but I also had a look at the group's website and it says things like we don't hate, we instigate, and gaming, not shaming. I don't know if they mean Skyrim, or I don't know what they mean there.
Skyrim Anonymous. I think I'll be joining them soon.
I think you ought to. If you're making yourself go to bed at 2 a.m., like you said to me the other night.
2:30, that was,
because you were getting grumpy, because you were tired, then you might need Skyrim
Anonymous. Yeah, I was getting annoyed with this skeleton fella that just wouldn't die. The thing is, though, it'll be never ending, because once I kind of moved on from Skyrim, I'll probably be playing Witcher or something. And
so he was like a party guest who turns up with the kind of biscuits that you don't like, I don't know, Garibaldi's or something, and they never take the hint, they don't go.
Mm.
And you're going, well, it's getting late, and he just takes another biscuit and says, yes, it is.
Gamers don't get much. So they're real, real hardcore game. I'm not a hardcore gamer at all.
No.
But they just don't sleep, do they?
No. I don't think I'm a hardcore anything, really, apart from perhaps a hardcore lying down person or a hardcore drinking tea or I don't know.
Like writer? You're a hardcore writer?
Well, I mean, I do write. That's the thing that I do more than anything else, write. But I probably still wouldn't say I was hardcore. There are certain patches where I have to get a lot done in a short space of time. But I'm not going to lie. I am going to say I do prefer watching telly or something like that. I'm just naturally lazy. So, yeah, I kind of chose them because perhaps I felt a bit sorry for them. That's my creative curiosity. Anti-smoking, it's a trap. I'm not saying smoking's great and that we should all go and get fags or anything, because I don't smoke either, but they just reminded me of Legs Akimbo from The League of Gentlemen.
You know, there was a young lad asked me if I would get him some fags outside his shop in Southend, was it last week? Southend. Yeah. And I said, sorry, I can't help you or something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't actually a moral reason. I just couldn't be bothered.
I know, it's effort, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, oh, do I have to?
Smokers, though, it's like, I remember buying cigarettes for friends not long ago, and it's gone to like 10 quid or something, which I don't know what that is in dollars if you're American.
15, 16, would it?
Yeah, probably. Yes.
Yeah, it's a funny one, really, because it's kind of like a class on it. It's kind of like a tax on working class people, really, because I would say more working class people that smoke than sort of everyone else. Mm. And my dad used to smoke, didn't he? And I, mm. you know, is it right to tax that? Because it's probably even shorten my dad's life.
Yeah. But
the thing is, it, for people who aren't, you know, are not earning a great, don't have a brilliant income, things like drinking and smoking are actually one of the few enjoyments you get out of life. I mean, so
that's like what they said in South Park as well. You know, they just want to be able to, you know, it's like one of the few sort of not holidays, but you know, like little happy moments that some people get. You know.
Look at Bill Hicks. I mean, he'd still be alive if he didn't smoke. But then again, would he have been Bill Hicks if he didn't smoke?
Yeah, but he would be alive. Yeah. You know, we're just thinking about it purely from a DVD watching perspective or something. I'm sure he'd rather be alive.
Yeah, well, if he didn't drink and smoke and take all those drugs, he probably wouldn't have been the act that we liked.
No.
Well, that's an interesting thing, but...
Can you still be like that without... Anyway, what's your creative curiosity?
My creative curiosity is Grayson Perry's house.
Yes.
Or Julie's house.
Julie's house.
Grayson Perry built a holiday home not too far from here, actually.
Yeah, what was the place? Not Wabness. What was it called?
Wabness.
Wabness. I'm going to have to look it up.
Rabness,
is it Rabness? Let me check that. It's in Essex. And it was quite nice watching the programme because he's talking about all the places that we live. You know, we're from Essex
as well.
That must
be on the Essex-Suffolk border.
Yeah. And he, you know, it showed them having a meal in Braintree, which is where my parents are, and...
He's basically created...
Rabness.
Rabness, yeah.
What's Rabness?
Created a fictitious lady that kind of almost loosely resembled his life.
Yeah, or his mother's, yeah.
Or
it was
his
a documentary that we watched in which they showed the building of it and the ideas behind it and... Basically, it's almost a religious temple to a woman that never existed, and it's not actually religious. It's just a woman from Essex, but it's in that kind of style, which is to celebrate the everyday. You know, just an average lady from Essex who, I guess, it's me.
And all her sort of like trials and tribulations of being a woman in, you know, in Essex. But like all of his things, it's what we said, it's actually what he said in the documentary after we said it ourselves, because we're clever dickies, don't you know?
We are terribly.
He was saying that's his work has it's fun, it's quite pretty, it's quite beautiful in many ways, but there's always a kind of a meaning and a story to it.
Yes.
And he's very, you can tell he's a very sensitive guy. There's a sensitivity that comes out in his work, and this house that he created, which is almost like a church to this woman, this fictitional woman's life.
Fictitional, again.
A fictitious woman's life. You've got to edit that out. it's kind of like a lot of his work, basically. They have elements of that, and that's why I think he's a very good artist. It's quite interesting because I feel like I should know him because
he lives. He lived in Chelmsford, which is so close to us.
Well, he lived in Broomfield, which it's like I lived in Great Leas, which is down the road, and I moved even closer when I was a teenager to Broomfield, and I was basically could have walked to his house from mine. Yeah. I mean, he's older than me. He would have left and gone to the bright lights in the big city.
He could have said, all right, Grayson, I'll just pop round.
And he went to Braintree College and did the same course
that I did. Yeah, we would have been the skeleton that came round with a pack of biscuits and didn't leave.
We would.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, so he feels... I feel like he's a friend, Grayson Perry, even though we don't know him.
Even though he doesn't know who we are, yeah. Well, see, the reason why I like him so much is because I look at him and every time I worry that... Because I like to wear really bright, colourful clothes. And every time I worry, I think, oh, I'm getting to an age where should I stop doing that? Is it going to look weird? Or, and then I see him and how, you know, the stuff that he wears, obviously he's transvestite. And I think, well, it really doesn't matter. Just wear whatever outlandish thing you wish.
Yeah. Why should you?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I could probably get away with wearing a dress round here on a daily basis simply because I'd probably get my head kicked in.
I don't know if you'd get your head kicked in. I think you just need to sort of learn to tune it out almost. Because, you know, I mean, like Eddie Izzard as well. I mean, he actually had to go to court, didn't he? Because he was attacked. Because he was in a dress, you know. But he didn't let it stop him.
No.
He just carried on. And, you know, you've got to admire that. Okay, it's Freaky Film Club.
Freaky Film Club. Oh, you got a nice voice, haven't you? It's very sweet.
Yes. We watched a documentary called House of Oddities, the story of the Atrocity Exhibition, which is on a website called, what is it, VX something?
Vox?
No, I think it's VX something.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. Well, just type in House of Oddities.
We'll link it on the story site.
Of course we'll link it. Atrocity Exhibition. And it's by a man called Brian Cottington, who I chatted with on Twitter.
Woo!
And he said, you know, this is a film that I made. And, I'd quite like to have a cup of tea with them all. That's the main thing that I got from it. It's worth a watch. It was pleasant.
I think you could be quite envious of the little world that they have there, where they've made a lot of great friends and they're, you know, expressing themselves creatively, and it's very nice. And they've done it of their own. You know, they had to do it themselves.
Yeah. I'll just explain. It's basically a creative collective festival, I suppose, of goths, lots of goths everywhere. And they kind of, I think they get together, is it once a year? I don't know. They all do their own thing. So it's sort of like in between Judy Garland movies where they say, let's do the show right here, and a gothic Warhol's factory, where basically they already do their own thing, like be it burlesque or selling art or singing or something like that. And then they have like a one-off evening of fun.
They do, yeah. And it did look great fun.
It did.
I would like to go, but I don't think I ever would.
Well,
have
we
the opportunity.
Never know.
Never know. If I make my millions from selling.
Well, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Pictures
do you?
Of the royal family in their underpants and stuff like that I normally.
I don't see why that wouldn't sell for millions, though. I look at that picture and I think, what are people not seeing, you know, because it's genius.
Yeah.
I think you should put it up again with this audio on the blog post. You should put it
I'll
on
I'll paint
there.
Some more.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to it. I thought it was very refreshing to watch people just doing something that they obviously really enjoyed. I always feel quite warm and fuzzy from looking at something where I like to imagine me actually being there for an evening and watching it, because you know, at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and a few other things, I've managed to catch sort of gothic burlesque type things. And
I think all of these guys would really love the, what did we see? Was it the Edgar Allan Poe thing?
Oh, the Edgar Allan Poe. What was they? Backhand Theatre, I think they were called.
They were good, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, that was really good.
They would have loved that.
Yeah, that was at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I'm not sure it was, but yeah, that was really gothic and visual. It was a circus thing.
It was atmospheric,
yeah,
wasn't it?
It was great. But anyway, back to what we're supposed to be talking about. It's nice watching something like that on your computer or TV or whatever you decide to watch it on, because it's like you're there, but you don't have to spend the airfare. So I think it's definitely worth a watch, and you should have a look at, I'll say again, it's House of Oddities Atrocity Exhibition, or the Story of the Atrocity Exhibition. And if you can't afford to get to America, or you can't afford to get to where it is, then just watch the documentary.
Isn't it Pittsburgh?
I think it was Pittsburgh, yeah.
I imagine that would be a couple of airfares then, wouldn't it? Americans would probably be thinking, well, that's just down the road.
Yeah, well, if it is down the road, then obviously by all means go. Go and watch. But it looks like a lot of fun. Yeah. I like the makeup.
Yeah, I had lots of things that I like. So, I mean, I don't really want to point out that, I mean, personally, I enjoyed some acts more than others, but they were all good. So yeah, I don't really want to pick any out because they're all enjoyable. So yeah. That's like a triumphant.
Our triumphant finishing cry, isn't it?
You have been listening to Bizarre, a podcast of the odd, the art, and the rest. Any questions or comments, email bizartcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.